You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, August 10, 2026. Under the radar, big-name M&A in upstream sector may have paused, but big-dollar deals continue. Published by Housley Carr. There has been no 11-figure M&A in the upstream space since Devon Energy and Coterra Energy announced their $21.4 billion merger in early February, just a few weeks before the U.S. and Israel initiated their coordinated attack on Iran and the Iranian government responded by closing the Strait of Hormuz. Other somewhat smaller, but still noteworthy, acquisitions have continued to happen. However, with their counterparties willing to move forward despite the uncertainties the Iran war and Hormuz closure have brought to global markets. In today's RBN blog, we'll look at a few of the largest upstream transactions happening under the radar in recent months. In the half year since we examined the Devon Energy-Coterra Energy deal, we've looked at upstream M&A through two lenses, first with a focus on efforts by E&Ps to divest assets that weren't core to their strategies and then, in a two-part series, by zeroing in on producer M&A in the Anadarko, a region that had long been out of the spotlight. Today, we discuss a handful of significant deals that have been announced during the on-and-off war with Iran. The standout transaction is Magnolia Oil & Gas's cash and stock acquisition of Wildfire Energy, which was announced on July 20 and is expected to close by mid-September. Valued at about $4.1 billion, the transaction will bring together the two largest oil and gas producers in the northeastern reaches of the Eagle Ford and, more specifically, the Giddings Field, an area where horizontal drilling was pioneered in the 1980s and 90s and which is now in a resurgence. The E&P's assets are highly concentrated and highly complementary, more so than just about any M&A we've seen lately. Most of the pro forma company's roughly 1.25 million net acres are located within eight South Texas counties: Brazos, Burleson, Fayette, Grimes, Lee, Madison, Robertson, and Washington. The deal will significantly increase Magnolia Oil & Gas's crude oil production and oil weighting. The company produced 106,000 BOE per day in Q2 2026, with a 40% or 42,000 barrels per day oil cut, while Wildfire Energy produced 53,000 BOE per day, with an oil cut of 70% or 37,000 barrels per day. The pro forma company's production in the same period would have totaled 159,000 BOE per day, with 79,000 barrels per day, or 50%, of that output in the form of oil. As a bonus, Wildfire brings with it a large sand mining operation, Red Star, in Burleson County that supplies all of the frac sand required by Wildfire and Magnolia in Giddings. Brief histories of Magnolia Oil and Gas and Wildfire Energy are warranted here. Magnolia was formed, and went public, in 2018 through a de-SPAC merger between TPG Pace Energy and the Eagle Ford assets of EnerVest. The resulting company made numerous bolt-on transactions to increase working interests, add inventory, and extend lateral lengths, but outside of a couple notable deals, it did not engage in large-scale M&A until its recently announced purchase of Wildfire Energy. In contrast, Wildfire Energy was built almost entirely through acquisitions, as we detailed a couple of years ago in She Ran Calling Wildfire. Formed in 2019 with funding from investment firms Warburg Pincus and Kayne Anderson, plus company management, Wildfire in August 2021 built upon its initial holdings in the northeastern Eagle Ford by acquiring Hawkwood Energy, 160,000 net acres, and 15,000 BOE per day of production, in a deal valued at about $650 million. Wildfire followed that up in March 2022 with a deal, price not disclosed, to acquire Maryland America Energy, which had 45,000 net acres and just over 3,000 BOE per day of production in the same general area. Then came a much bigger acquisition, one with an interesting backstory. Wildfire Energy is headed by the former management team at Wild Horse Resource Development, which by 2018 had amassed 420,000 net acres in the Brazos Valley, mostly in Bastrop, Brazos, Burleson, Fayette, Grimes, and Lee counties, and was producing 47,000 BOE per day there. Eager at that time to expand its oil-weighted Eagle Ford holdings, Chesapeake Energy acquired Wild Horse in February 2019 in a stock and cash deal valued at nearly $4 billion. Wild Horse investors ended up with a 45% stake in Chesapeake until the much larger E&P's bankruptcy filing in July 2020. Chesapeake emerged from Chapter 11 in February 2021 with a plan to focus exclusively on natural gas production in the Marcellus Utica and Haynesville plays and divest its oil-weighted assets, including the northeastern Eagleford holdings it had bought from Wild Horse only 2 years earlier. In January 2023, Chesapeake announced a deal to sell about 377,000 net acres and 1,350 wells in the Brazos Valley to Wildfire Energy for only $1.425 billion. Production from those wells then averaged about 28,000 BOE per day, 85% liquids, crude oil, condensate, and NGLs. Then, in late May 2024, Wildfire announced that it had entered into a definitive agreement to acquire 237,000 net acres and interests in 465 wells in the northeastern Eagle Ford from Apache Corporation, aka APA Corporation. At that time, production from the wells averaged 11,000 BOE per day. Wildfire did not disclose the value of that deal, but Apache/APA said the Wildfire arrangement and another much smaller deal announced the same day, for the sale of about 24,000 net royalty acres and 2,000 BOE per day of production in the Permian's Midland Basin to another buyer, had a total value of more than $700 million. Novi Labs, the corporate parent of RBN, has worked up a detailed analysis of the Magnolia Oil & Gas Wildfire Energy deal and its significance. In its deal insight on the transaction, available to Novi subscribers, Novi concluded that Magnolia's acquisition of Wildfire is about much more than adding production or acreage. It is the culmination of years of consolidation that will leave one operator with an unrivaled position in the Giddings field. It also said the most important question is whether Magnolia can unlock greater value from Wildfire's inventory than the big dollar purchase price implies. If management successfully lowers costs, extends laterals and applies its disciplined development model across the combined acreage, the deal could prove accretive well beyond the near-term production boost, Novi said. Next, we'll discuss Matador Resources' July 23 announcement that it has agreed to make two substantial acquisitions in the Permian's Delaware Basin. The larger one is the $1.275 billion purchase of Paloma Permian LLC, a portfolio company of NCAP Investments with about 16,200 net acres and 11,000 BOE per day of production, 57% oil, in southeastern New Mexico's Eddy and Lea counties. You might want to take a look at Figure 2 in today's blog, which shows Matador's and Paloma's acreage. It also shows the oil and gas gathering assets of San Mateo Midstream, a joint venture co-owned by Matador, 51%, and Five Point Infrastructure, 49%. San Mateo Midstream said August 3 that it had acquired the assets of Cardinal Midstream Partners, which will support the additional acreage from the two acquisitions. Matador Resources also reached an agreement to acquire about 13,600 net acres, most of it undeveloped, in what the company said it believes to be the heart of the Woodford play in West Texas and southeast New Mexico from Ridge Runner Resources 2 LLC, another portfolio company of NCAP. Matador did not say how much it will be paying for the Ridge Runner acreage, but said it will have invested a total of $205 million in that deal and another 37,000 acres or so of brick-by-brick acreage acquisitions it has made in the Woodford play. Novi Labs has also posted a deal insight on Matador's acquisitions, in which it noted that the E&P has now spent about $6.3 billion on upstream acquisitions in the Delaware Basin since 2023, including about $1.7 billion to buy Advance Energy Partners in 2023. And about $1.8 billion to buy Ameredev 2 in 2024. Both of those companies were also backed by NCAP. Novi concluded that Matador wants inventory quality and duration that overlaps its existing acreage and midstream footprint, allowing for improved capital efficiency through longer laterals and optimized infrastructure. There are a couple more noteworthy deals to discuss in short order. First, Shell said June 30 it has agreed to sell its 50% non-operated working interest in the BP-operated Na Kika platform and associated fields in the offshore U.S. Gulf, as well as Shell's 100% owned Coulomb subsea tieback to Talos Energy and Ridgewood Energy, for $1.7 billion in cash. Na Kika was Shell's only non-operated deepwater production platform in the U.S. Gulf. The fields feeding it produced about 37,000 BOE per day net to Shell in 2025. When the deal closes later this year, BP will continue to hold a 50% ownership interest in Na Kika and operate it, while Talos and Ridgewood, frequent partners in offshore projects, will each hold a 25% stake. Regarding the Coulomb tieback, which connects to Na Kika, Talos and Ridgewood will each hold a 50% stake and Talos will be the operator. Lastly, Marubeni Corporation, a Japanese trading giant active in the global LNG market, said June 17 that it has acquired Eagle Ridge Energy 2 LLC, one of the largest oil and gas producers in North Texas's Barnett Shale, for an undisclosed sum. Previously, Marubeni and Eagle Ridge had each held ownership interests in much of the same acreage in the Barnett, with Eagle Ridge serving as the operator. Now, those interests are consolidated and Eagle Ridge is a subsidiary of Marubeni. In its announcement, Marubeni noted both growing gas demand from AI-related data centers in Texas and rising global demand for LNG as drivers behind the deal. More specifically, it said that its post-transaction Barnett Shale production of about 170 MX/D is equivalent to about 1.3 million tons per annum, or the capacity of about 19 LNG carriers. We think that while the pace and magnitude of multi-billion dollar upstream M&A in the second half of the 2020s is unlikely to match what we all saw from 2020 through 25, more deals will be on the way, especially once global oil and gas markets settle down. Under the Radar was written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. It was recorded in June 2005 at Ocean Wave Recording Studios in Los Angeles during the sessions for the A Bigger Bang album, but did not make the final cut for the LP. It was released later in April 2010 for inclusion on the A Bigger Bang Special Edition CD and DVD. The song addresses contradictions, obsessions, and concerns about a manipulative relationship. The melody features a modal feel that is similar to some of the psychedelic vibes exhibited in the late 1960s Stones songs, Child of the Moon and We Love You. Personnel on the record were Mick Jagger, lead vocals, rhythm guitar, bass, Keith Richards, rhythm guitar, backing vocals, Ron Wood, slide guitar, and Charlie Watts, drums. A Bigger Bang was recorded in 2004-05 at Ocean Wave Recording Studios and Village Recorder in Los Angeles, and Chateau de Fourchet in Poche-sur-Cise, France. Produced by Don Was, the Glimmer Twins, and Matt Clifford, the LP was released in September 2005. It went to number 3 on the Billboard 200 albums chart and has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Three singles were released from the LP. The Rolling Stones are an English rock band formed in London in 1962 by vocalist Mick Jagger, guitarist Keith Richards and Brian Jones, bassist Bill Wyman and drummer Charlie Watts. They have been active for over 6 decades and have released 32 studio albums, 39 live albums, 25 compilation albums, 3 EPs, and 125 singles. They have sold more than 200 million records worldwide. The Stones have won 5 Grammy Awards and 3 MTV Video Music Awards and are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mick Jagger was knighted in December 2003. Brian Jones died in July 1969 at 27 and was replaced by Mick Taylor. Taylor left the band in December 1974 and was replaced by Ron Wood. Bill Wyman left the band in 1993 and was replaced by Daryl Jones. Charlie Watts died in August 2021 at 80 and was replaced by Steve Jordan. The band released their latest album, Foreign Tongues, in July. It is unknown if they plan to tour again.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.